This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Can you remind me how old? I know you have, is it four or five?
Got five.
Five. And your youngest is about 5 years older than my oldest. But what is your age range with them?
Yeah, so my youngest is nine. She's going to be 10 in a week, which she could tell you how many hours it is until she turns 10. She's got an app, so she'll tell you. Really fun age. And then my oldest is 19. So I've got 10, 12 and a half, 15, 16 and a half, and then 19.
Okay. And is the 19-year-old away to college or is she still with you guys?
She's not. She's doing kind of a super senior year and doing some classes. She's my graphic artist. And so she's doing a lot of pursuing that and doing it from home, which is pretty cool. She just had her first children's book published. It's on Amazon, which is very cool. Yeah, if anybody wants to look that up.
Yeah, Nora, can you say the name?
Nora and the Untamable Mane. It's adorable. The mom is the lion tamer trying to tame the wild beast of her daughter's hair, but it introduces all these vocab words and it's fantastic, educational and adorable, and the drawings are my favorite.
Aww.
Yeah.
Looking it up right
that
now.
Is wild. You have a successful, you've done it. You have raised a successful adult.
At least by that marker. Yeah. We have a few other markers to hit as far as, you know, moving out at some point. No rush.
But I mean, she did the thing she wanted to do. Like, she's pursuing a career and is more accomplished than a lot of people that try to pursue that type of thing.
Exactly. Figuring out how to make art a job and pay is huge. So I'm thrilled for her.
All right. Welcome to the Adventure Mamas podcast. We are Nikki and Ashley, and we are here today with my friend Sarah. And Sarah, we've crossed paths like a couple times, but we've like been in the same circles for a long time.
Yeah.
Her dad was my music teacher. I don't know if you knew that, Ashley.
I didn't even know that. I didn't realize.
Like,
how fun.
School music teacher or like taught you to play the piano?
Both. Okay. Both and neither at the same time. He was the worship director at the Bible Institute I went to. And I
minored in music and got like halfway through the program. So I didn't, did I take his beginner piano? It's all kind of foggy now. But he was like the worship director the 2.5 years I was there. So mm-hmm. taught me a lot. And then he certainly taught me music theory. And your sister worked with me on piano some. I don't know if you knew that. Becca would hang out at a keyboard in my room.
That's awesome.
And then I worked with her mom after college in the accounting office.
My family more than with me. That's just funny.
Your sister-in-law was my makeup artist at my wedding.
That's right.
And you Ari, now he's retired, but you were a fellow mill spouse. And when we were in Japan, we had you guys come out and speak at a retreat. And that's when I really got to know you guys better. Was that her and her husband stayed with us and spoke at several like chapels and retreat sessions and ate ramen with us. Yeah. Saw Mount Fuji.
Conveyor belt sushi, which I still, such a great memory. Yeah. Yeah. What an awesome experience that was. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it was great. It really, I know I still hear from people about how it impacted them. Are you and Jordan both still with Operation Restored Warrior, or neither of you, or?
Jordan is, he's still on staff. He runs their kind of drop zone. I'm still technically, you know, part of the women's program. They're not doing it a whole lot with that actively. So I haven't had the chance to do anything with it for quite some time, but when they do have women's events, I jump in. So.
Awesome. And that is
I'm not familiar. Can you do like a 30 seconds?
Yeah. You want me to see that?
Yes, please. So
my husband, was in the military. After his, had a really intense deployment to Afghanistan, really struggled, some PTSD, depression, just the transition was really rough for him. Got referred to a program called Operation Restored Warrior, which they do like a 5-day, they call it a drop zone, most effective program I've ever even heard of for helping guys to kind of deal with the issues that are causing the PTSD to arise and transition to a place of hope and life, get their heart reconnected. So he went through that program, really was impacted by it, and started volunteering for them. And now he's on staff and runs their drop zone program. So he's been working there for a good 10 years now.
Very cool.
Yeah. And at the time that I met you guys, like he said, it was a 100% success rate, which is kind of unheard of with PTSD and mental health stuff, but they're really effective.
Yeah, these guys leave in a different place than they came for sure. Yeah.
And it's like military to military. Isn't everybody there a former military too?
Yes, everybody that runs the programs, former military, everyone that runs the program has been through the program themselves. And they offer it to military. Sometimes they have the opportunity to offer it to like military spouses, which is, or female veterans, which is when I get to jump in. Once in a while, they're able to bring it to a church or, you know, something where it's non-military, but 90% of what they do is military. Yep.
Yeah. And then you're also a life coach. Can you give us a 30-second snippet about what you do with life coaching?
I can. I've gotten, so I don't love the term life coach. It can mean so many different things.
But I'm sorry.
No, it's not. That is what I am. Like, that's the title, but it just, nobody knows what to think when you say life coaching, you know, like, and honestly, when I got involved with life coaching, it was a little bit of, I really like figuring out people's problems and telling them how to fix it. So I thought I could be a life coach. Turns out that's not really what it is at all. And so I really, went through the program with a company called Bridges, who I work with them. Now I'm on staff there.
Oh, awesome. But
I get to help if people are going through the program wanting to become coaches. I like host and facilitate those classes. So that's been really fun, something I can do from home. But just learning coaching has been something that's allowed me to try to think that at home with your kids stage when you're doing especially the small kid thing, I feel like so many parts of yourself just get lost. You know what I mean? Like being able to be something other than just mommy. And so coaching has been really significant for me for that, being able to develop myself outside of mommy. But then what's wonderful is learning how to really listen, learning how to ask someone powerful questions to help them to navigate what they're going through, to set goals, you know, all these different pieces of what it means to coach. I'm able to apply to parenting. I'm able to apply to my marriage. And then I'm also able to apply outside of my house, which is really cool. But coaching mainly, it's drawing out of somebody, what are the goals? What are the dreams? What are the things that are down inside that are kind of dormant or buried, or you don't know how to move forward? You know, when you're in that place where you're like, I know this thing is in there. I don't know how to make it happen. And I feel like there's roadblocks, or, you know, you're stuck in your brain. What I do is just provide a space for somebody to be able to sort through those things, dig down a little bit, figure out what's really there. And then, okay, let's make a plan to take steps forward. I'm here caring about your journey. I'm here caring whether or not you do the thing you said you wanted to do, and help you talk through why it didn't happen. You know, all those pieces to be able to move forward in something. And that's what I get to do.
Maybe I need to hire a coach instead of a therapist.
Finding the right match for therapists is tough. And I've got, you know, I mean, I've got teenagers, and teenagehood is hard. So most of mine have a therapist they're meeting with at different points, which I'm a firm believer in. But yeah, not just finding one for yourself or your spouse, and you like, now I'm finding them for my kids, and the right match for who I'm.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's fun, because actually I'm able to work with therapists sometimes, because coaching is all about like forward motion, whereas therapy is often about dealing with the things that hold you back. So if somebody's like not able to move forward because there's this thing they've got to go back and process, I'm like, it's time to go see a therapist. That's not what I do. Go do that. And then when you're ready to move forward, come and we'll, you know, help you to move forward. So that's been kind of a cool back and forth. Both are really valuable. Somewhat's just knowing which is what you need at the time.
Yeah. I've never heard it described like that way. I like that. Maybe I'll start looking for a coach.
Well, give me a call if you ever do. I'll either meet with you or recommend somebody awesome.
Yeah, I'd probably look for a recommendation. I don't know if my husband would want to like know the person he's sitting down. Be like, have you found a good ramen shop nearby? Now let's switch our hats and talk about our problems. Or no, that's therapy, not coaching. Never mind. He'd probably be okay with that. We'll see. And then another thing that I want to touch on a lot while we talk too is you guys full-time RV'd with your family of 5 kids, 2 adults, 2 dogs, was it?
Just one dog.
One
but
dog.
It's huge.
Oh,
the size of 2 dogs.
Oh, that's easy peasy then.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was only one dog. So, oh my gosh. Yes, we did. We did for almost 2 years. I will say it was a huge RV. Like one of those like toy hauler ones where the back folds down and, you know, whatever, you can drive a car in the back kind of thing, which was crazy by itself, just driving that thing down the road. It's like you're driving a semi truck, but huge for an RV, but really small for a house of 7 people. So
yeah,
almost 2 years. We did that. My husband, working with ORW, like he does, he travels about a week out of the month. So wherever they're doing their drop zone program, he flies there. The other 3 weeks out of the month, he works from home. So between me coaching from home and him working, you know, remotely for ORW 3 weeks out of the month, it kind of gave us the flexibility to be able to do that. He would get us set up somewhere, fly out of whatever airport we were near for a week, and then come back, and then we'd go somewhere else. You know, so it was slow. It wasn't like those trips you see where people pack, you know, like every national park into a 3-week trip, or like that's not what we did. That's not what we did. Very slow. Mostly kind of worked our way up and down the East Coast, and you know, some into the Midwest. But
so you weren't moving with your, like where your husband was going for work, you were on your own.
Right.
You were going to the places you wanted to go, not the places you had to go.
Right. Exactly. Because actually the way that his program works, we wouldn't see him the whole week he was there anyway. So it was kind of pointless to, you know, their days are packed. So it was wasn't really wouldn't really be worth much for us to be there with him. So yeah, we mostly I didn't know before that almost every military base has an RV park that's pretty inexpensive to stay at. So we did a lot of moving from military base to military base, and that worked out pretty well. We always had the commissary, always had the gym, you know, like all of those things that were draws for us. But
yeah.
So any questions about?
Yeah, all the questions.
So many. What was the impetus? Like, what was the moment when you were like, yes, we are doing the thing?
Yeah. I say, you know what? It probably that whole 2020 thing where we all ended up at home was probably a big part of it. Like all of a sudden realizing we're doing life from home. We could do something. We could have an adventure, you know. That was a big part of it. Our kids becoming teenagers, that was, you know, what, 4 years ago, 3 years ago now that we started. So 4 years ago would be that we started like talking about it. And our kids becoming teenagers and just that place of feeling like we're separating. You know what I mean? Everybody's kind of coming home and going to their rooms and not together. You know, when their kids are little, they gravitate towards mom, wherever mom is, that's where everybody is. And it slowly changes as they get older. And all of a sudden they're, you know, so focused on their social activities and they just kind of want space, but trying to find ways to like, this is my family, you know, like pull back together. And the idea of an adventure, something that forced us all together a little bit, but gave us memories, you know, those shared experiences. And we started, you know, we talked to all of them. We're like, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's put out our worries. And we took a long time. It was probably 9 months.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It's to a year that we talked about it before we actually did it and left. Mm-hmm. And everybody was on board at that point. And but that I think that was the big thing, is that like we want the closeness for our family, and it's just so hard to foster that in the normal American schedule, you know, where you're just running from activity to activity and very separated, and kids are at school, you know, whatever. It just wasn't what we wanted for our family.
Yeah. And so you touched on it when you said that, but immediately I thought, like, what did your teenage children, like, how did they process that? Were they immediately on board? Was it some hesitation? Like, how did they manage that and get to a place where they were willing to? Assuming, like you said, that everybody was on board by the time you went.
They were. Everybody was on board. I'm not going to sugarcoat the whole experience. If someone was going to do the RV thing, I would do it while the kids are younger. Like, I wish I could go back and do it when the kids were a little bit younger. I don't regret doing it, but doing the teenager thing was hard. They were all on board when we went, but, you know, my two youngest, they were like 6 and 9 when we left, maybe 7 and 10. They would hop on their bikes, whatever RV park we went to, they hop on their bikes, they ride around the loop, and all of a sudden they've got 2, 3, 4, 5 kids around them. And they're like, they're hopping on their bikes and they're riding together. And all of a sudden they have friends, you know, like it just didn't take a lot for them to connect.
Yeah.
My girls, my teenagers, it was not the same. So I loved the fact that they connected amongst themselves in a whole new way, because they had to, they didn't have friends. You know, like even if we went to an RV park and there's teenagers around, no, mom, we're not going to go talk to them. You know what I mean? Like it's just, you don't do that. And so I'm like, hop on your bike and go. And they're like, yeah, okay. You know, like not happening. So it forced them. They, you know, a bond was created there between them that wasn't there before, which I love. And we did get, they got closer with us, but you know, it's a stage of life where friends are really, really important and being away from that was difficult. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've also, I mean, I've got two of my kids are on the spectrum and honestly, just the noise level in the small space was a lot after a while for them. So it got to the point, actually, my oldest ended up going and nannying for my little sister for a little while, which is a fantastic experience. But she was just like, all right, mom, I need a break. You know, like the enclosed space was a lot. So there was positives, there was negatives. Like I won't, you can see all the curated versions of RV life if you follow, you know, all of people. And it was all of that, but it was also, you know, there was really hard things. My girls and I all would cycle together. And so like 1 week a month, all of us are like in this little enclosed space with a lot of hormones going on, a lot of emotions, and it's a little intense sometimes.
Your poor guys, because we didn't touch on Ashley, but she has her husband and one son and the rest are all girls.
Amazing.
So yeah, I was going to say my husband and my son are like, we're going to go work out, you know, we're going to go get some space, go fishing. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. That'll be Alex's future eventually with two daughters. Ashley also has two daughters and a son.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And our girls are all
my husband and my son. It's fun as he's getting to like that teenage age. They play a lot of sports. They watch a lot of sports. They do, you know, like their guy stuff. And it's just fun to watch that develop. I think it's a little different than if he did have a bunch of brothers, you know.
It's, yeah.
Both is good.
I love it. What do you have any tips or tricks for aspiring RVers? Like, I would love to. It's not our season. We have a pop-up camper and I want to live in it, but I won't.
That's how we started too. The pop-up camper got us.
The gateway drug.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That was it. We got out in the pop-up camper and we're getting these kids off screens and we're making memories. And I'm like, I want more of this. And then we like jump straight into this enormous camper.
Were you a family of seven in a pop-up camper?
When we did the pop-up camper thing, we did the tent and the camper. So that's how we handled that one.
Okay. And there's different levels of pop-up camper too, Ash. Ours is like the smallest because my van doesn't have a towing package. So we had to get like the smallest one that we could pull.
Yeah. I'm picturing your pop-up camper with seven humans that are not toddlers.
Cause we fit, how many was in ours? Cause eight and two dogs. Yes.
But those were two grown-ups and mostly
and six
toddler and baby sized people.
That's impressive. So you two went together in the pop-up camper? That's
And it had two short queens and a twin bed, and the kids all piled in with the mamas, and then the dogs took the twin bed. None of the kids wanted to sleep in their own bed.
Of course.
The dogs took that.
Nothing different.
I miss that.
You met Todd and Dexter when you were with us, right? Did we have both of them by then?
I think so, yeah. And them and your hedgehog. I
can't remember. Oh yeah, you met Sophie.
You did.
Sophie died not long after that.
Oh, very sad.
But she was a cute little hedgie. Mm-hmm. Still have the dogs though.
That's so great. They're adorable. Oh my gosh.
Oh, we've mentioned them a few times on the podcast just because their personalities are so big. Like if you're talking about my family and the personalities, like they have their own personality that fits into our.
I feel like we need to feature the Shibas more on social media.
I'll work on it. I'll add it to my list. Yeah, social media.
In no great hurry.
We're like, I say we're the worst at social media, but we aren't because we do it. But you know, we'd just rather be adventuring too.
Yeah.
Like that balance.
Ashley's been learning.
Oh God.
I was just gonna say Ashley's been killing the mushroom of the day though. I'm living for her mushrooms of the day.
That's awesome. You go out adventuring and you find mushrooms.
I have a lot of mushroom content. That's not a hard reach for me. I just
mushroom seems a little bit of a rabbit trail, the rabbit hole that people fall down. Like it's a whole world.
That's a gateway into foraging, like mushrooms. Like you see a mushroom and now you're picking leaves and eating them. Like
slippery slope.
What are your favorite type of family adventures or your favorite adventure memory with your family?
You know, I've really liked, and it seems like a little bit the trite answer, about finding a new place and exploring, like, especially cities, going to, you know, on our travels, we went to Charleston, we went to New Orleans, we went to, you know, just some of these iconic cities that have this real personality, and finding, you know, doing the tourist thing, but then finding the hidden gems and finding the food that whatever that area is famous for and eating that and finding the beautiful things and the weird things about that city. I don't know. That's one of those things that I love. And it's been really fun to do that with my kids. And then it's just great to be together and we're like watching a movie or something and we see someplace and we're like, oh my gosh, we were there. Do you remember when we saw that? Or, you know, cause it's always the iconic places that you see in the movies. And you're like, wait, we were there. We saw that thing. It's just so bonding, you know, like this memory now comes back every time that you see that place, every time you see those iconic, pictures, it's like, we were there. We stood there. We experienced that. So those have been my favorite, I think.
That's fun. What's been your favorite weird? You said like each city's weird thing. What's the weirdest?
Oh my goodness. You're going to have to give me a minute. If there's something going to come up right away.
The world's tallest yogurt cup.
I know. I'm gonna have to think about that one and come back because I know that there's some good ones, but it's like just dumb ones that are coming to my mind. So I'll think about that one and get back to you.
All right. And I think I bunny trailed about pop-up campers before I listened. I need to get better at listening. Listened for your best tip and trick or advice for aspiring nomadic RVers.
Yeah. I think, all right. So ideally in my ideal brain, that window of time between when your kids are like 4 and 12, that's like the golden years right there. And I don't think I realized quite so much how those years are the go and do years. Like they still want to be with you. They still find random places that you're going fascinating. You know what I mean? They're still happy to be with mom and dad. But they don't have diapers and they don't have nap needs and they don't have strollers and they don't, you know, all of those things. So, my kids that were in that window of time, it was just so easy to do that kind of thing with them. So I feel like that's that golden window where if you can go, your kids are in that space, it would be the easiest. That's not saying you can't go, you know, obviously we did, and I'm glad we did with our kids older and whatever. I'm sure you could do it younger and it'd be great, but I don't think I realized how much that season is ideal for that kind of thing. I think I thought, oh, I've got till they're 18. And in some ways I do. I mean, my kids are home till they're 18, but that type of window really ends around 12. It's just a transition to a whole different relationship. And I love having teenagers. I love my teenagers. But it's not the same, you know, it's not, you don't as a mom get to like do as much of the, all right, kids, here's what we're doing today. And I don't think I realized that, you know, like when your kids are younger, you just decide, all right, we're going to do more of this kind of thing. And you pack a bag and you go and your kids are like, okay, you know, you got to get a lot more buy-in when your kids are teenagers. You got to get, it's a lot more convincing. There's a lot more, you know, feet dragging if it's not something they're interested in. And there's a lot more of getting involved with what they're interested in instead of pulling them along with what you're interested in. So both are good, but for something like RVing where,
it's a lot more mom directed, where like, here's what we're going to do and here's where we're going to go. Here's what we're going to see. You know, that window of time was really great for that. Otherwise, I think knowing that the military bases had RV parks is huge for anybody that's military connected. They are just definitely less expensive than any of the other ones that we found. And I think just grab the chance. You know, if you've got a chance to do it for a month, grab a month and go take it, and don't wait for having a year necessarily, because that might never come. But you can do a lot in a month, and you can create a lot of memories in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on like RV rentals? Is that like a common thing for people who want to do just like a month or?
Yeah. We've actually got one that we are in, can rent out or sell. We're like transitioned out of being in our RV now and trying to figure out what we're going to do with it. But yeah, quite a lot of people do the RV rental thing, and that seems like a great option. We've really thought about taking ours and setting it up some of the beaches and things down here in Florida and being able to Airbnb it out a little bit. We'll see.
That's fascinating. My gears are turning. Mm-hmm. I'm the small business fairy. I'm like, should I rent out an RV? No, I shouldn't. It's not my season.
Maybe I'll call you. You can help me figure out how to make it all work. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not my strong point. Just being excited about an idea is my strong point. I'm going to be real honest with you.
I love it.
I'm a great dreamer.
So good. I'm so good.
And I'm a good hype person too. Like, who is it the other day was telling me like, it was our interview the other day with our friend Lori, who's writing curriculum and stuff. And I toned back, but I wanted to be like, you do it. Write it.
We're so proud of you. That's awesome. Everybody needs that person in their life. Oh,
you can do it. Rent it out. I'll come visit. I will certainly come down to a beach in Florida and visit with my crew.
Nice.
All right. We'll think it's a mansion compared to our pop-up camper. This is an option. I'll never convince them to go in the pop-up camper again.
Wow. I still think pop-ups are wonderful.
It is. I like the independence. Like, I can drive this thing around up a mountain in Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. Our RV, there's no way I was driving it anywhere. So
you never tried?
Oh goodness, no. This literally felt like a semi, and our truck to drive it was like a Ford F-450 dually. Like, this thing was enormous. Just driving the truck was enough for me. I'm such a wimp at that stuff.
It's okay.
So with the size of your family, I assume the other car was a van.
I wish we had had a van, but we ended up doing like, we had the truck because our truck disattached from the RV. It was one of those.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, like a pickup truck, and then we had like a little 5-seater car. So the times where all of us were going somewhere together, we just had to drive both vehicles. So it worked for that season.
Hey, whatever you got to do to make the adventures work. We've done many a camping trip with two vehicles because our small family didn't fit in. We had a Ford Escape last.
Especially when you've got like three car seats or booster seats or whatever, trying to fit them across the back, it just doesn't work.
Oh, Ashley feels that. That's her. That's her right now.
My car is just at max capacity at all times. When we had the third kid, we were like, we could get a bigger car, or we could just run this Xterra into the ground, which is what we're doing. And it's very squishy in there. It's like the backseat of my car is just like the get along shirt where you stick two kids in the same t-shirt until they're friends again. Like, that's the backseat.
That is what the seat is.
Yeah. And all their stuff, it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. So much stuff.
We touched.
How did you choose where you went? I'm sorry, Nikki. I totally cut you
off.
I need to know everything.
Please.
Go for it. It was a little bit of a combination of what worked and what we were interested in. Like wherever that Venn diagram crossed, that's where we went. Because especially if we didn't plan a long time in advance, like RV parks would fill up. And so we're looking at, okay, we need something next month. Okay, this place, and this place have openings of the military bases that we know that are someplace we'd like to visit. All right, let's pick one of those three. It was a lot of that kind of thing. And trying to like strategically work our way along instead of, you know, using a ridiculous amount of diesel to get in that beast wherever it was we needed to go. So, and the other piece was we made friends along the way, and it was really fun to be able to then, okay, a year later, we connect back together and we spend a couple months in San Antonio, or we spend some time, you know, wherever it was, at the beach in Destin, and we would connect back with them. So picking cities that we wanted to go to, that was a big part of it. My husband and my son are working on getting to all 30 MLB stadiums before my son graduates from high school. So that was always a little bit, I think, in the back of their minds, like, well, if we went here, we could get these two stadiums along our way. And then if we hit St. Louis on the way back, and then, I mean, I'll be honest, the other big part was food. Like we ate the most incredible barbecue. And then we found tacos everywhere we went. We found amazing seafood. Like I love food. So going places that, and trying different kinds of food, that was a big part of it too. So yeah, it was a little bit of all of that. We didn't have some like master plan at the beginning of our journey of here's what we're going to do and where we're going to go. It was a little bit more free. But then we also had the fact that my husband needed to know a month ahead which airport he was going to be flying out of, so we knew where to buy a ticket from. So that kept us a little bit ahead of the game. But that part after a while got a little like, I don't know where we're going to be next month. You know, that got, I was glad to have that part done. Just that stress of like, oh man, we got to figure out where we're going to live next month and Jordan's going to be leaving and, you know, whatever, but being able to take it a step at a time was fun too.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a fun adventure. That's like, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around with three little kids, but
yeah,
in airy fairy Nikki land, that would be just the dream.
And what if you've settled then in Florida? Was there a reason? Why was that just like the favorite place that you guys frequented, or what was your favorite place and what caused you to settle? Is your favorite place where you settled, or
my husband's favorite place is where we settled? I don't know that we're settled. We actually, it's really funny. We knew it was time to just take a break from the RV. We needed a little bit of like settled time. And so we're like, there's only a couple military bases where they let retirees live on base. And one of them was right here where we are, which, you know, the military base is on the beach and with a river on the other side. It's like, it's basically on this little island. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah. Really nice. And my husband's side of the family is down in Florida. So we were like, you know, we've lived near my side of the family quite a bit. We're real close with them. We've never really lived near his side of the family, especially the ones down here. So like, why don't we take a year? We'll live on the military base, you know, kind of like do a 12-year lease, not 12-month lease. And
<Got you. laughs>
Freudian slips coming out of my mouth. No. And be able to be near this side of the family, get the sun, you know, Nikki, after the amount of time that we spent in New York with the gray and the cold, the sunshine is, it comes out every day, like the sun every day.
It's wonderful.
Who knew that was a thing? So that's been wonderful. I mean, we literally, you know, go out of our house and drive across the street and take walks on the beach. Like, all right, I'm going to run over to the beach and I'll be back in 15 minutes. You know, like that's life right now, which my husband is like, this is the dream, you know, being able to be by the water and So that's been really fun. Being on the base is nice. We've gotten connected in, you know, like with a church here and stuff. So the problem is three of my kids went to school for the first time this year. So I'm still finishing up. Two of mine are actually graduating from homeschool. They went all the way through. And the other ones really wanted a school experience. So the little charter school near us has been this incredible. It's a great school, but it's a brand new adventure. At the same time, having kids in school, I mean, the last time I had a kid in school was when my 19-year-old was five. So now that they're in school, I'm like, we're stuck here, aren't we? Trying to transition them again would be really hard. So we'll see. We didn't come here with the intention to stay, but.
Yeah, that would be my oldest is dead set against school. Like I've sold him that it's prison and he has bought it. But my middle is like, she's like, when I lose all my teeth, I can go to school. And I'm like, that's not the determining factor.
Like, where did that even come from?
She's like, when I get bigger and I lose my teeth. And I'm like, it's kind of, I guess. I don't know. She's like, and I'll be like, oh, you don't want to go to, like, oh, we're going to stay home or go on a field trip. Like, you can't do that at school. And she's like, but I can ride the bus. Probably also
It took my kids 1 week because two of them can ride the bus. It took them 1 week to be like, yeah, no, I'm done. Mom, can you please come pick us up? I don't want to ride the bus anymore. And they were the same way, like, oh, never ridden a bus. Yeah, no, 1 week and they were done.
Oh, I hope, because if my kids ever go to school, like the bus is where everything horrible happens. I learned most of my public school education that I shouldn't have learned on the bus. And they just think it's the greatest thing in the world, a school bus. Like, we have a magic school van. Again, the oldest has bought it. Middle, not so much. She's like, it's just a van.
Oh, I love it. It's so funny. They're different personalities, isn't it?
I know. Oh. She's so spunky. She gives me a run for my money, that one.
Secondborn, say something about them.
Yeah. You felt that with, because you have three middles. Are middles all generally the, like, do they all have that same fire?
You know what? It was so funny. For the longest time, I was like, that whole birth order thing, it doesn't fit with my kids at all. Because, like, none of it fit at all. And then all of a sudden, I realized my oldest, for various reasons, is totally an only child. So she has the full only child personality. My next, my secondborn, is my first. And she has the total firstborn personality. The one after that, oh, so second born middle child. And then I've got my boy, who's the only boy. So it's kind of that only oldest thing for him. And then I got my baby. And I was like, oh yeah, no, that 100% fits. That was just really funny. I think because my oldest was my only for several years and she just like clicked into that role and never really was the oldest thing. Really funny. Yeah.
Is she the oldest of like the grandchildren in your family too?
She is not. My next sister had the first baby. So
okay.
Her son is a couple years older.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any other RV questions, Ashley? Before I move on, because I know it is fascinating to us. I told her, I was like, I have a friend who did RVing. Want to talk to her? And she's like, yes.
Yes, I do.
Oh, there's so much with the RV. Like, just.
Yeah, I was like, I could probably fill many hours just pestering you with questions. So.
Yeah, well, feel free to message if you ever are looking for. But yeah, I learned how to, especially with Jordan traveling, though, I had to learn how to do all of the, like, emptying the black tank and like all the gross things and the crawling under and checking. Like, I couldn't just make him do all of it because he was gone like a week out of the month. So I highly recommend make sure your husband's just always around to do that stuff.
We had to on our first pop-up camper trip, which we did talk about on a previous episode for our listeners. But one of the gross things was, it was just the mamas. It was a mama trip.
and we had to figure out how to do the portable toilet. And our kids literally stood on the sideline and cheered as we did it. And it was beautiful and ugly and all at the same time.
Yeah, I was very proud of us and also just lots of ick.
I like it. Yep.
Could we, before we move on from the RV, could we talk like finances for a couple minutes and kind of however you're comfortable talking about like your family finances? But I'm curious, is it a lot more expensive than stationary life? Is it cheaper? Are there, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm really bad about
hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I'm really bad about knowing actual numbers. So I'm not going to be able to have that for you, but I will say there are ways to do it a lot cheaper than stationary life. And there's ways to do it a lot more expensive. Like it's not a RV life is necessarily expensive or necessarily inexpensive. There are ways, you know, there's, I don't know if you've heard of the Thousand Trails, it's basically like a membership. So you can find ways to do it really cheap. If you're willing to move every 2 weeks and only stay in their parks, it can be incredibly inexpensive. We found it was probably somewhere in the middle. We kept it, things like staying on the military bases and often doing things like staying someplace for a month, doing a monthly rate is a lot less expensive. The biggest thing that I found that made it difficult financially is you're always on vacation. So that place of we want to go check out the cool things and we want to go to the museums and we want to go to these cool restaurants that we found. And there's seven people in our family and you're, you know, having to buy tickets for everybody or being on the road on travel days. And I didn't buy stuff to pack lunches that we're stopping for fast food or, you know, like whatever we're Chipotle or, you know, whatever we're doing on the road. And it adds up. And so being in that we're always on vacation mindset was tough on the budget. So we would do that for a little while and end up like spending more than we wanted to spend. And then we would really pull back and we're just more living our normal life in different places. That made it a lot less expensive. So there are, we found it about the same, maybe a little more expensive, but we also really wanted to do the stuff and make the memories. So things like, one tip we found that was fantastic is that there are museums around, I'm trying to remember what the name of the one we found. I think it's the Kern Museum. Anyway, random museum in Ohio that has reciprocal memberships with like four or five different organizations. And so we bought a membership. They let you get one even if you don't live in the area. Bought a membership with them. Have never been to their museum, but used that to go to every zoo and every children's museum and every science museum in the towns that we went to. And either it was free or it was 50% off or whatever. That saved us so much money. So that's a big thing that we did is we'd go to a town, we check out the museums, we check out the zoo, we check out the, you know, the science centers, and being able to get a membership that had reciprocal rates with those was huge. So it was like $100 and over the course of the year, we probably used that a dozen times over. So.
Yeah. That was- Ashley does some programs like that too.
Yeah. We spend a lot of time like up at my parents. And so we have a membership at a museum down here. It's reciprocal with the museum up there. So every time we're up there, like we do that. And then we've done like some zoo swaps as well. It's I love a membership.
Yeah. There's often things like that you don't even realize you have. You know, you haven't ever thought to check if there's reciprocity with the memberships that you have. So worth checking out.
Yeah. I had never heard of it before. And so hearing that another person, like, it's not just a weird Ashley thing.
Rather, I felt really validated actually in that moment. So
that's awesome.
I want to touch on, we are running low-ish on time and I want to be mindful with everyone's time, but I do want to touch on coaching. You gave us like a snapshot of coaching, but I want to hear more about how that how it impacted, improved your parenting, and then how also it can, you know, help us or our listeners, how we can get involved and benefit from coaching, how it fits into like an adventure lifestyle and all the things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let me see if I can organize my thoughts just a little bit. I can tell you a little bit more about what I really love about coaching and how I mostly use it to start. And I mentioned this before, but that place of helping to draw out of somebody the dreams. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got dreams. Everybody has things that they want to do. Like if you sat down with somebody and you asked them, like, what's that thing that you're like, I really think I should do this at some point. I think I should write the book. I think I should go on the adventure. I think I should, whatever the thing is, start the business. I think I should, that thing that's down in there that you kind of keep at a low level. Do you know what I mean? You keep it. And for you guys, I mean, something like this blog that you're doing, people have dreams like that of, man, wouldn't it be great if we could start a blog and encourage mamas that are adventurers. But for most people, those things just stay ideas. You know, they stay, oh, I don't know how to actually move forward with it. I don't know how to actually do it. And so those things just kind of stay down inside. And what coaching does is it provides a space where you can talk about the crazy dreams. You can talk about the things that are, what if someday I was able to do this thing, in a totally judgment-free place where somebody is not gonna say, well, you know what you should do? You should do this. And you know, just what you were talking about, Nikki, jump in and think that I can figure it all out for you, but I can draw it out. And that's the thing that my coach training taught me. It taught me how to really listen, and it taught me how to draw out, to ask the questions that get you thinking differently than you've thought before. To think about the perspectives that maybe you haven't asked yourself, you know, the questions that maybe you think the question in your brain, but the fact is when you're thinking it yourself, you don't have to answer the question. You know, you think in your mind, man, why don't I ever do that? I wonder why I don't move forward. But when somebody else asks you that question, you got to come up with an answer. And what's amazing is when you come up with an answer, you hear yourself answering the question, and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, I think that's really true. And you're figuring it out as you process. So I think that there are a lot of stay-at-home moms who could benefit from coaching to help to draw out the dreams that are down in there that are kind of buried. Because I think we tend to think, okay, I'm home with my kids. This is what I'm doing right now. And then all of a sudden our kids get older and we're like, what happened to my ideas? What happened to my dreams? What happened to my life outside of my kids? And no, it's not a stage in life where you can be giving a ton of attention to those things, but you can be growing them. You can be moving forward, but it's tough to focus on yourself. It's tough to focus on your own things. So having that time that's blocked out to talk to somebody who cares about your dreams, who cares about your ideas, who's going to help to draw those things out and ask you the questions like, what would it look like to take one step forward? What would that step be? You know, like what is it that makes it impossible to move in that direction? You know, those kinds of things. So, but I also think that there's a lot of mamas who would be great coaches. And the idea of something like coach training, being able to develop that side, like I said, it was for me, mentally, the part of me that wanted to help, you know, I'm a helper. I want to be able to help people, but realizing that my best way to help people was not, like I said, telling them what to do and figuring out their life for them, that actually coaching gave me a way to do that. And it was way more effective than what I was doing before. So, trying to think, did you have more questions that you asked that I didn't answer yet?
How has it like influenced your parenting? Do you coach your kids? Do they know that you're coaching them? Do
most of the time they don't. Once in a while, when I usually I'm pretty natural with it, like it's just my normal way of talking now. But every once in a while, they're like, "Mom, you're coaching me right now, aren't you?" And they kind of roll their eyes. And some of them love it, and some of my kids are like, "I don't know. Don't ask me any more questions." You know, again. But no, coaching has been huge because here's the thing: you know, when your kids are small, like where you guys are at, you're telling them what to do. Like they have some choices in it. You can give them options, but like when your kids are little, they need to be told what to do. And then they are hopefully getting to a stage where they're completely living their own life. They're moving out, they're having their own home, their own family. But like, how do you navigate that transition? It can't be a, okay, I'm the parent and I just tell you what to do up until the day you turn 18 and you move out. And then, hey, I hope you figure it out. You know, so coaching for me has been that transition piece, being able to gradually shift my role in their life from telling to, okay, how about if I ask really good questions and I help you to start thinking through your decisions? Yeah, there's still boundaries around it, especially, you know, in the young teen years, but I've found being able to really hear them, that's been a big thing for me, to not just hear what first comes out of their mouth and make snap decisions based on that, but coaching has taught me how to ask more questions and to actively listen to what they're saying. Because, you know, teenagers especially, everybody, but teenagers especially really want to be heard. They want to feel like their opinions matter, that they have some say, that they have some control over their life. And coaching has given me tools to be able to, instead of saying, if you go do that, here's what's going to happen. And you're going to make this horrible mistake and you're going to do this. And they're like, oh, mom. Instead, I'm able to use coaching to say, what are the things that could happen and how are you going to avoid those? Those kinds of questioning and allowing them to start processing through. I'm still going to stop them from making a really stupid decision, but most of the time they're able to get there on their own, or they're able to figure it out and talk it through with me to the point where I'm like, you know what? I think you're thinking through it well. And after talking with you, I feel fine about you making that decision. You know, like we're able to meet in the middle a little bit that way, but it allows for a way of parenting and being involved that's not as control based and more influence based, that I'm able to be involved and to care and not have to just control them.
Yeah.
And I think helped to mitigate a lot of the, like, the natural, like, power struggle that tends to happen in the teenage years where, you know, like, they're wanting independence and you're going, yeah, but you're making stupid decisions. And how do you put those two together? Coaching is really, has really helped with that.
What, just because I'm trying to navigate, that's the type of parenting I want to do. Mm-hmm. And as you're talking and I'm listening, I'm like, oh gosh, like, am I giving my five, almost 6 year old, like, is his brain able to compute those types of questions? Like, what age did you really start leaning into some of those options and giving more of those freedoms with good questions? Because I don't want to be a controlling parent, but at the same time, I'm like, maybe my five-year-old does just need to be told what to do, especially when I'm trying to mitigate some of his incessant arguing. giving him choices just feeds into arguing.
Right. I think I did the same thing of started probably a little bit too young with my kids, trying to talk everything through. I mean, if I was going to lean one way, I'd probably lean that direction anyway. I'd rather talk things through more and whatever. But I think you're right that at that age, they do probably need a little bit more structure than what I was giving them. It was really into the, I think that puberty transition, that 12 to 14, 11 to 14 range is when, it's not like I transitioned fully to coaching. I'm still mom. Like, I'm still in charge. I still am going to pull the mom card here and there, but I don't have to be there all of the time. You know what I mean? So that was the window where I feel that, like, 11 to 14 window is when I really started making that transition and where it was really effective. I think younger than that, I talked things through with my kids a lot to help them understand why I was making decisions. But I don't think I realized quite so much how the whole idea of right and wrong doesn't really compute at that young age. Like, kids make decisions based on whether the consequence, the reaction is going to be positive or negative. Like, the idea of right and wrong is still very vague and ambiguous for just their brain development. So it's not that we don't keep instilling that and working on it, but the fact is they make decisions based on, does this work out well for me or does it not work out well for me? And I don't think I really processed it that way, that I need to make sure the right things are working out well for them and the right things are not working out well for them as much as possible. And then transitioning to things being right or wrong, whether the consequence in the natural seems like it's good or not. And then going beyond that to, okay, what's going to be best for my life in particular? So it's that transition. I think those middle years really are where that transition starts to happen and they get to start processing beyond just what makes me happy right now.
Okay. Can you give us a few sample questions? I know, and we're going to share in a few minutes kind of how people can, how they can connect with you with coaching, but can you give us like a few sample questions? What are some of your favorite questions to help your kids process maybe decisions or emotions, directions, everything?
You know, when I first started coaching, I got really good at coming up with amazing questions. The longer I've coached, the more I use really simple questions. So for me, it's a lot about listening, really listening to what it is they're saying, and then grabbing something interesting that they said and saying, you said this, tell me more about that. I use the tell me more about all the time. Just getting more of the picture, not assuming that the picture I get in the first 30 seconds of somebody talking is the whole picture. Like, let's pull more information. So the tell me more question I use a lot. It's tough when I'm not in the middle of a coaching session. What are coaching questions that I use the most with my kids? Do a lot of the, call it magic wand questions. Like, okay, if you could wave a magic wand and make the situation exactly what you wanted it to be, what would that look like? And then, okay, what is it that really stands between that ideal situation and where you're at, and talking through those pieces. So we do that quite a bit. We do a lot of the, okay, if you keep going on the path you're on, where are you going to be in a year? Are you fine with that? If you keep going on, you know, making the decisions that you're making 5 years from now, are you okay with where you're going to be? And what does that look like? So helping them to think outside of the right now, but to start making those for themselves, you know, seeing that picture for themselves.
Okay. Like, I mean, I have this podcast so I can listen back, but I'm taking a lot of mental notes as well. Because I don't think we're, you know, with our young kids there yet, but I think it's valuable for anyone too. Like anybody who wants to be a good friend, who wants to be, you know, an adventure buddy or a parent, like in my own life, like thinking and reflecting on some of those things is good. Now you have my gears turning. Where will I be in 5 years? Where is this taking me?
Give me a call. We'll coach on it. I owe you one.
I don't know. You're giving a lot right here now. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, you know what? Often it's funny that the most powerful coaching question is not asking a question. You know, so often when someone is talking, we tend to fill the space or feel kind of awkward with quiet if somebody's thinking or processing, and learning how to just wait and be okay with thinking. You know what I mean? Being okay with, I think if I ask a question, like, what do you think about that? And they're like, huh, I don't know. Like, give them a minute to think, give them a minute to process, be okay with waiting. Sometimes I'm amazed at what comes out after a minute or two. When they have a chance to actually think, take time to process.
That's good. So we are about out of time, and I want to respect your time. I know it's late at night. Our listeners all know that that we get recording late. And the later it gets, the sillier we get.
Silly. I was going to say we're hitting at 10 o'clock, which is, I think, is always the everything turns goofy.
Yep. I feel like you could listen to our episodes and, like, just by the nonsense, you could be like, oh, that's approaching 11 o'clock.
That's where they hit. Yep.
But I want to hear
what, you know, where people can find you, either on socials or if you have a website and you're coaching things, to find out more information, either for them to receive coaching or for them to get training on how to coach and how to, you know, even if they don't want to be a coach professionally, like how they can benefit and take classes for that to parent our people, because my kids need a full-time coach. Lordy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, about half the people we have coming through the coaching want to be coaches. The other half, they're managers. They want to learn how to manage their employees better. They're business owners, their parents, their pastors, their teachers, school counselors, you know, people that are wanting to incorporate more of that coaching into their life, into their job. So yeah, bridgescoaching.net is the organization that I work with. Cindy Scott started that one. She's absolutely fantastic. And I've been involved with Bridges for, I think, like 8 years now, long time. And I'm listed there as one of the affiliate coaches. So all of my contact info is right there. They're also, if you go on to bridgescoaching.net and you hit a button, it says, I think I'm interested in coaching is what the button's called. That comes to me. So okay. If you hit that button, it'll send a little notification to me and I'll reach out to you. I also have a special code. If you do hit, if somebody hears that, clicks on there, I've got a code for $100 off of coach training. Ooh. That I can ask anybody that hears this. So
yeah. What's the code? What's the code?
You gotta click that button and I'll send it to you.
Oh, the button. I was like, we've never had a code before. I got very excited. Could you tell? So they click the button that says, I'm interested in coaching, for a code for $100 off.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. And do you have any personal socials that you want people to be following along your journeys, your traveling, or are you more private?
I'm fine with, Instagram, Fulton Adventures is our handle there. I will tell you though, I don't post. I used to do the social media thing a lot when my kids were little and I could just, be the photojournalist of their life and snap pictures and whatever. Teenagers don't like that as much. I'm having to run all the pictures by like 3 or 4 different teenagers. Like, are you okay with this one? Are you okay with this one? And I've kind of given up a little bit.
Yeah, so. That sounds like a full-time job.
So I tend to stalk other people in their cute kid and dog pictures than I do post much.
All right. I'll still follow. I think I follow you. I'm not sure if Adventure Mamas do. If they don't, we will.
Okay.
Because we still have been the journey. And our listeners can find us on Instagram at Adventure Mamas Podcast, on Facebook, The Adventure Mamas Podcast. And I already messed it up. I thought to myself, this is the time. I'm going to do it right. I did not. It's Instagram is adventure.mamas.podcast. Facebook is The Adventure Mamas. Our email is adventuremamaspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you all. And thanks so much, Sarah, for chatting. And
thank you.
It was so great.
I'm
you guys going to go plan a cross-country trip immediately.
I hope you do.
I'm going to start sending Ashley links for RVs that it's your turn to buy a mode of adventure for us to hop in on.
It is my turn. Tell that to my husband in the next room. Let him know.
I will. Don't worry.
Thank you. I know.
All right. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Yeah, you guys are fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Bye.